Okay.
Memorable moments. That's what I felt Zen was all about. Have these great insights and achieve great wisdom. expand your understanding. Well, I had a kind of memorable moment related to the practice 20 years ago, but it was nothing like in the books that I'd been reading. It was not very exciting. It was quite ordinary. I had been, this was 20 years ago, I'd been to Tassajara for a few days for a retreat or a workshop or something. And I was coming out, coming home. And after reaching the summit and coming down, feeling pretty good, had a flat tire. Well, if you know the Tassajara Road, you know you really don't want to have a flat tire on the Tassajara Road. Mm. But anyway, had a flat tire. It turned out to be not any kind of disaster or frantic moment. It turned out to be an adventure. When I step out of the car, I immediately felt at peace. There were the beautiful fall colors, the twilight, the only sound you could hear were the birds and the rustling of leaves in the trees. And there was a deep feeling of peace, of being with nature. It's like pre-civilization. Nothing technical around, just nature. And the changing of the tire went pretty easily, no problem at all. And then I drove down the hill and went into Salinas to get a new tire. And while that was happening, I started chatting with the woman who owned the gas station, who owned the station, and was chatting with the man who was changing the tire, who I believe was her son. And we had a nice talk, a nice time. It was getting kind of dark, but it was fine. And he changed the tire, and I said goodbye to Sylvia, the manager, and her son, whose name I didn't catch. And I drove home in very high spirits. And I thought to myself as I drove, noticing how good I felt, this must be how it was, how people worked or did their job, did their chores before we had the modern world, when life was very, very simple. This is how people did it. Their time was spent mainly in finding food and sustaining their life in the midst of nature, in the presence of animals, in the midst of animals and trees and mountains and the weather. There was no separation. They felt no separation. Living in nature like that all the time and making their way, their daily life in the midst of nature. No separation. And I thought, each of the, for the hunter-gatherers, the very early people, each hunting expedition must have been an adventure. Not just a casual event. But every day, each hunting expedition was an adventure. I remember I was fortunate enough to be here when Suzuki Roshi came here. And I saw him a time or two, and it seemed to me that he was always in high spirits. Always ready to to have an adventure. That's what I thought. He's ready. He's ready for anything. He came to the U.S., the United States, when he was already 55. He spoke very little English, and he didn't know what he was coming to, and so he had no expectations. Just an adventure. And as we know, he created something very valuable, something that we cherish today. His work and his example and his wisdom and his high spirits. We revere them today. And none of it could have been done without him willing to have an adventure. So our practice, you know, has many different dimensions. If you look at it and if you analyze it, want to take the trouble to analyze the practice, it has a number of dimensions. One is it helps us develop the capacity to see things as they are, to get past our delusion, to see things beyond their appearances and beyond the relative nature, beyond their form and their color. And when we see past the temporary appearance of things, this is called, this is called wisdom. See the true nature of things, that's wisdom. Another thing that practice can help us with is, it can loosen our minds to being attached to things in our everyday life and decrease our tendency for desire. Another dimension of practice is it will encourage selflessness and lead us to increase our care and our concern and our compassion for others. And finally, our practice can help improve our awareness and our mindfulness, which will, as we know, decrease stress, improve our relations with each other, help us feel whole and wholesome, so that we can see situations both in their detail and in a very large way, so that we learn how to take care, respond and take care. Many dimensions of our practice. But that's just the mechanics. Those are the things that might benefit us, that will benefit us if we do the practice. The practice requires a spirit of adventure. We have to come to it with the spirit of adventure, or develop a spirit of adventure. Because without the willingness to have an adventure, this practice won't work. It doesn't work. One of the stories that, one of the Zen stories that I read and that most of you have read, is the story of how Dogen, when he left Japan to go to China to meet the Zen people, he had some big questions, you know, and his teachers in Japan said, "Oh, too much for us. You better go to China and talk to those Zen people." So he made that difficult journey. And when he arrived in China, he decided to stay with the boat for a little while and not go off and visit various temples right away. So he stayed on the boat. And one day, a visitor came to the boat, turned out to be the cook at a nearby monastery a few miles away. This elderly Tenzo, he came so he could buy Japanese mushrooms to put in the soup for the evening meal for the monks. He walked about 6 miles to get mushrooms. Dogen liked this the man. He liked the cook, who seemed very wise and very settled, had good humor and seemed to know what he was doing. And Dogen wanted him to stay, so he invited him to stay and spend the night on the boat and not walk back. It's a long walk for an elderly gentleman. And the cook told him, I am the cook. My responsibility is to make the meal for the evening meal for the monks, so I must go back. Dogen said, "Well, it's so hot out here, it's a long way, and you're getting on in years." And the cook says, "Well, young man from another country, you don't understand what this practice is. And incident created a profound change in Dogen's attitude. And that would not have been possible if he had stayed home in Japan." So our practice cannot exist without a sense of adventure. No matter how many years we may sit on this cushion, no matter how much reading we do, we have to be adventuresome. There is a saying that says, the practice is not about painting the dragon or carving a beautiful dragon, creating some beautiful form of practice. So we can step back and admire it, be satisfied with ourselves, admire our practice. Look at this beautiful dragon I've created. And unfortunately, this is the understanding that many people have, to create a dragon. But the most important thing about our practice is not to create the dragon, but to ride the dragon. In other words, be ready to live our life, to go where the dragon goes, give the dragon life. If you go where the dragon goes, it means you don't really know where you are going, and you don't know what adventures you will have. And when you have them, they may not seem, you know, beautiful or enlightening, but those are your adventures. Now, this may sound like a very heroic attitude. Be ready to have adventures. That needs great determination, but that's not so. The important thing is to have the correct vision of ourself in the world. Not limited to our profession or our family situation. It's not about having a certain way of life. It's about having the correct way of living. So we chant the Bodhisattva vow. It says, "I will save all beings." And this is always a big question for people. When you're fairly new to the practice, you say, "My goodness, save all beings? I can't promise that. How do I do that?" The way you do that is you're ready to have adventures. ready to have adventures in every relationship and in everything we do. Ready to have an adventure, especially those situations that may feel a bit difficult or challenging. Ready to have an adventure. So the attitude we try to cultivate and maintain in our practice is to always be ready to do something completely, fully, and not to be afraid of doing it imperfectly, not to be afraid of making a mistake. We don't worry about perfection. We worry about engagement. So our way of life and our way of engaging with life is to go fully into each situation when it invites us. Go without hesitation into the situation when it invites us. This is what's called riding the dragon. The bodhisattva way of living is very adventurous. So if somebody says to you, how do I save all beings? You say, don't just think about it, go do it. Go do something. Go have an adventure and find out. So we don't have to be successful in everything we do to reach the planned desired result. We don't have to be successful in the usual meaning of successful. And it's not necessary to give a grade, a school grade, to each of our activities. An A or B minus, a 10 or 5. We should just go where we should go. So our practice is to look for the doors in life and to open the doors that appear to us. And don't ignore doors that are closed. Oh, I can't go there, it's closed. With the spirit of adventure, we take a chance and open the door. Don't ignore closed doors, even if it seems like it doesn't lead anywhere, even if it seems small or unimportant. We should not measure the size of the doors. This is the Zen way of living. When we carry our practice in our daily life, we will continue to make discoveries and have adventures continuously. And we don't need to judge their success or failure. And of course, we have to be prepared to have adventures. We have to be prepared. Before they went out hunting for their daily meal, the hunter-gatherers, you know, made sure that they had enough arrows, that their bows were well-strung and working well, and their spears were in good shape. They did that before they set out. And before going for a long drive, you make sure that your spare tire is in good shape and you have the right tools. We we prepare for adventures. But we can't anticipate, we rarely can anticipate a new adventure, a surprise new adventure. A surprise new event that will give us an adventure. We can't always plan ahead when we know precisely what may come up, like coming across an animal that may be our next meal, or a challenging road. We can't always think ahead. We don't always know what's ahead. But when we practice, we are always prepared, mentally and emotionally, for any surprise. And when that surprise arises, we can come back to ourself and not be carried away. We come back to ourself, which means coming back to nature. Going back to that place where we do not feel separated. A practice will keep us prepared for the next adventure. People who are not familiar with this practice, and when they hear about it, when they read about it, or told about it, they may feel, oh, you sit there and do nothing? Oh, what a waste of time. But we know that we're not wasting time when we sit quietly, keeping our awareness, training our mind to be ready. We are preparing for life's adventure and preparing not to turn away when an adventure presents itself. This is how we collect our experiences, and this is how we expand our wisdom. Does anyone have a question tonight? Yes, please.
So, having a sense of adventure and still keeping a right attitude, it seems like there's like a fine line. It seems like there's a fine line between those two things, and possibly not easy to keep the right attitude while having a sense of adventure. Might get carried away by the sense of adventure or have an attachment to the adventure. Isn't it a little dangerous to have a sense of adventure?
You know, before we had the modern world and all its conveniences and labor-saving devices and comforts. Human beings walk the earth in a very primitive way, and in order to survive, they had to be ready to have an adventure with something. So they always paid attention to the surroundings. And always ready to respond to whatever came up. And when we're always ready, then adventures come very naturally. So our attitude is, I'm ready. I'm ready. So maybe during the day, a few times during the day, we should say to ourselves, am I ready? Am I ready? Am I still ready? In Zen mind, beginner's mind, in one of his lectures, Suzuki Roshi is quoted as saying, it's the readiness of mind that is wisdom. Ready to have an adventure. Thank you. Yes, please.
I suppose my question actually is the same question, but I'm wondering, to put my own point on it, how do you distinguish between adventure and hedonism?
Hedonism? If you feel that you're in an environment that's morally wrong, that means you know what's morally right. And you say to yourself, that's what I'm going to do. And then you do it. And you stick with it. Thank you. Yes, Travis.
Thank you for your talk. Excuse me. Spirit of adventure and going into the unknown, practicing into the unknown, that is this the attitude of surrender? You sometimes use that term. I think it's a question that people have, the idea of surrender.
In order for there to be surrender, there has to be an enemy. If we don't make enemies out of the things we discover in the everyday world, if we don't make enemies, then we have no need to surrender. Yes, please.
I've done some recreational tree climbing. One time I went on a trip where the trees were about three times as tall as anything I had ever climbed before, and I got up the first rope with the help of the experienced climbers, and I put my foot on the first limb. My feet were shaking because I was terrified. I'd never been that high in a tree before. And one of the experienced climbers looked at me and said, you know, the definition of an adventure is, don't you? And I said, I asked, what? And he says, it's that which while you're doing it, you'd rather be sitting on your sofa telling your friends about it. And I thought about that and repeated that story a number of times because it's resonated with me that there is some kind of trade-off between, you know, taking the risk to be ready and to go into the unknown, and something kind of redeeming about that is some kind of form of excitement. And I know we've talked about excitement in here before, about, you know, avoiding this excitement. So I kind of am wondering about the dichotomy between excitement and adventure.
So when you're climbing a tree like you described, where you have to pay attention, if you get too excited, it becomes a little dangerous, then you know that. So if excitement were to come up while you're climbing, you say, hold it, come back to what's in front of me. I have to take care of what's in front of me. So the excitement will come, but we just don't get carried away by it. Thank you. Yes, please.
I think that there's sometimes confusion about the hedonism versus the adventure-seeking mindset. And it seems to me that the hedonistic mindset is comfort-seeking. When you're a hedonist, you seek comfort. But when you're an adventurer, that's very uncomfortable. Being a true adventurer and having a ready mind, a beginner's mind, can be very uncomfortable. And it kind of reminds me of, there's a quote by Christopher Columbus, and I know Christopher Columbus has fallen out of favor as of late, but there's a great quote where he said that you can never cross the ocean if you're afraid to lose sight of the shore. And a lot of people take that to mean that you're careless, or you just lose sight of the shore and you can cross the ocean. But I think what he really meant was you have to lose sight of yourself. You have to be willing to let yourself go, who you think you are and how you've defined yourself. And that's very uncomfortable. That's the antithesis of hedonism. So I guess it's just a comment that having a ready mind and keeping a beginner's mind is a challenge. It's a very uncomfortable thing to do.
At first.
Right.
You know, with practice, it's not uncomfortable anymore. It's natural. Thank you. Good story. Christopher Columbus. So. Yes, please.
So, I often find myself kind of on days where I don't meditate. It's usually because I'm doing something exciting or adventurous. So I'm wondering how, and so sometimes it's comfortable to do the exciting or adventurous thing, but I'm wondering, and it's uncomfortable initially to meditate, and I find myself kind of trying to escape those uncomfortable feelings by seeking adventure. So I'm wondering, how do you bring yourself back to regular practice? I know it's the right thing to do, but sometimes, how do you make it more regular?
How do you?
Every day, how do you?
How?
Yeah.
How do you motivate yourself?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, if you feel it's a waste of time, then you can't motivate yourself. But if you have just the smallest glimpse that this is not a waste of time, there's some value here. When you feel that, and then you go with that, and then you sit. This is important. This is vital. Maybe you don't know exactly why, but you feel that, oh, this is right, this is natural, we should do this. When you know, when you feel that a little bit, that's the motivation. And the more you sit, the more continuous your practice is, the more you will see, feel something, and it will encourage you more and more. But you're right, in the beginning, you say, what am I doing? In the beginning, and so it's true that we need encouragement when we first start. Thank you. Anna, yes.
Thank you for your talk tonight. I'm fostering a dog right now, and right before I came tonight, I took her on a little walk, and I only had a little bit of time so I could miss traffic and get here in time. And I went pretty far, and she wouldn't let me turn around or turn left, because she knew that then the walk was over, that we were heading back. And so she would sit down and just not move. And so eventually she let me turn right to go onto the side street. So I turned right and I tried to move around. She goes, oh no, that's back. So she sat down again. So I went on these little adventures with her to try to get home in creative ways that she couldn't figure out was home. I eventually had to carry her home, which was really embarrassing. She was wearing a little sweater and a leash, and I'm carrying this little dog with the leash all the way home. But I was thinking about it because I realized I still get, sometimes I have trouble, you know, going with the, choosing between the adventure and taking care of those things in life that you really need to do. I had to beat the traffic and get back, but she was so cute, and I wanted to keep going on her walk. I wanted to do the kind thing for the little foster dog. So how do you find that wisdom to know the balance, to choose your adventures and to do the compassionate, kind thing when it comes to you, and to take care of those little things in life for yourself and for other people?
How do you know? How do you know? It's a very popular question. How do you know? I don't know. But if we stay with it, we learn how to know through our own experience and through the dynamics of being with the dog and thinking you want to do something else. And you learn. You just learn. And nobody can tell you what's the right thing to do. We'll learn how to respond to each situation with continued awareness. So that was a good adventure tonight. You said, how do I take care of this dog? And you chose a way to do it.